Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Radick, your host. Delighted to have you with us this morning. Thank you for tuning in. We thank you to our sponsors, Tanner Health System, Oak Mountain Academy. We have in studio, as we do once a year and have for a long time. Dwayne Hack, president of West Georgia Right to Life, and Brooke Robick, project coordinator at Georgia Right to Life. Welcome again.
Hi, thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the opportunity.
Want to mention before we get started that West Georgia Right to Life was honored last week by a proclamation by Carroll County Commission Chair Michelle Morgan. On the 25th anniversary of the establishment of West Georgia Right to Life. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
It's kind of a nice honor.
Yeah, it was. But everybody that's been a part of West Georgia Right to Life for years owns part of that. You know, may it be financially, prayerfully, putting a lot of work into it. I think that proclamation goes out to all the pro-lifers in West Georgia that have helped us.
Well, let's jump right in, because this is, you know, to me has been surprising, somewhat disappointing. Since the Life Act, better known as the Heartbeat Bill, abortions are up in Georgia. And I understand they're the highest in the nation in a decade. So how much and how can that be after we pass a Heartbeat Bill?
Yes, they are. And again, it depends on which marketing company you're looking at, who's taking the numbers and running with them. Guttmacher has always been a pro-abortion marketing data company that has an analysis firm. They do a really good job, but you've got some others too, the Lozier Institute, the Oasis Institute that reports as well, but the information that we've been able to obtain is that in Georgia in 2020, there were 31,248 abortions that are reported. And in 2023, there was 31,800 abortions. So you are seeing an increase. You know, there was 550 more abortions that have occurred. 11%. So you are seeing that. I mean, and I think it boils down to you got to really peel the onion back and look a little bit deeper. Look at all the surrounding states that are around Georgia. I did a quick view the other day. You got Alabama. You know, they completely have restricted abortions. So you have people coming over from Phoenix City, coming to Columbus to get abortions. Mm-hmm. You got Florida now, which is 6 weeks. Prior to that, it was 12 weeks, 14 weeks. And so people were coming over from Florida. You got South Carolina, which is now 6 weeks. There's restrictions there. You got Tennessee, which has a complete ban, very limited. And then you go to Georgia now. I mean, you know, it was 6 weeks. Now it's 20 weeks. 20 weeks with exceptions for rape and incest, which when you go back to the surrounding states around us, they don't have those. It's for the life of the mother, which, you know, we've found out in past conversations that necessarily is an exception either. So you see that. And one thing that I thought was really interesting, and Guttmacher, again, does a good job of looking at graphs and charts and seeing moving forward analysis. And what they said in 2023 was from January to June, there were 15,200 abortions. And now when they do the analysis and looking at it and putting on a chart, they're saying in 2024, current year, January to June, they're calculating 17,900 abortions based on empirical data that you've seen already the first part of this year. So that's up 17%. So you've got such an influx of states coming into Georgia, and now with it going from 6 weeks to 20 weeks, it's basically Katie by the door. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to grow dramatically over the next several months.
It should be noted that the Guttmacher Institute is often quoted by Planned Parenthood, so they're not known for their pro-life stance.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, too, and I think Brooke is probably going to elaborate some about the chemical abortion side of this.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
You know, those numbers aren't even reported in these numbers right here.
I would imagine the average voter, however, in Georgia doesn't know this and would think because of the Heartbeat Bill that abortions have got to be highly restricted.
I've been to a couple meetings over the last couple months, and people are really saying, you know, the Heartbeat Bill came to Georgia and it's going to reduce abortions. And, you know, I'm sitting there saying, no,
with all the national publicity, yeah.
It's not happened that way.
Well, has there been any restrictions on abortion clinics in Georgia?
We had 15 at the beginning of 2023, and now there's 12 as of right now.
So three shut down?
Three shut down since when that was as of 10-4.
But the main areas, though, for those are what? Savannah, Macon, Columbus, Atlanta?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so. Mostly Atlanta, Macon, there's no abortion mills. And I think, to my knowledge, there's still 13 that are open. There's one in DeKalb, like Southeast DeKalb, GYN,
How many are Planned Parenthood?
I'd have to look that up again.
But think about it, and again, well, I know we're going to talk about that. But clinic, but you know, you've moved to medical abortions, which you don't need necessarily to go to clinics anymore. You know, it's home. It's home abortions is what it is. Abortion by mail.
So it was in the latter part of the Clinton administration, September, the abortion pill in France, known as RU486, was approved by FDA. And as we all know, Hillary won the Planned Parenthood Margaret Sanger Award. So the numbers that we quote, Brooke, are really not accurate in the sense that we have chemical abortion now.
Yeah, I know. That's the reality, right? So, yeah, the numbers we quote are all reported abortions that happen in clinics and hospitals. So, yeah, some of those are through the abortion pills, through chemical abortion. But the prevalence now of mail order chemical abortions, if you go to websites like Plan C Pills or Aid Access, those are just two that are really prevalent in sending out these abortion pills to women. It's really easy. It's super cheap. You can even get pills from free. They might be shipped from India or other nations. You know, they're not really regulated. But yeah, we can't really report that. I only know of one like study from Aid Access where they reported the number of abortion pills they shipped out kind of before Roe versus Wade was overturned and then after. So that's how many they shipped out. We don't know how many women actually took those or if. So yeah, we can't really know the exact number of chemical abortions that are happening through those mail order abortion pills.
So the numbers we quote are minimal numbers.
Yeah, there's probably a lot more abortions that are happening. I can give you, I did some research from that Aid Access study. So they found that from June 24th, so that's when Roe v. Wade was overturned, 2022, to August 31st, 2022, they found that the abortion pill requests from Aid Access for Georgia were 4 per 100,000 women per week. So if you kind of do the math with that, if we keep that rate consistent, factoring the total Georgia population of females, that's 90 requests per week. And so that's only across from one website, but if we keep that rate consistent, that's a potential of 4,680 abortion pills mailed to Georgia females in a year. And that's just from one website that does that.
And we're just talking about one state.
And that's just one state. So we really, I think, are very much underestimating our abortion numbers.
And right now the numbers, 63% of all abortions that occur are from chemical abortion. And I happened to come across this stat early this morning, and it said in 2001, there were 6% chemical abortion performed.
Wow.
In 2020, 53% of the abortions were chemical. And now 2024, 63% of the abortions are chemical. And going back real quickly, let me just go back one step.
Sure.
Give me a minute and a half. As I look through, you know, the surrounding states, we talked about the surrounding states coming to Georgia for abortions, but then what about those that are leaving Georgia and going for abortions as well? And they're being lured by some of the advertisements and some of the openness of these states. One of them is Oregon, and Oregon has no restrictions based on gestation, no 24-hour waiting period, no state funding. Mm-hmm. There is state funding. There's also Medicaid funds that are available. And I look at Minnesota. So we see Governor Walz talking about, you know, his state and how they're, you know, really watching abortions and keeping an eye on it. And it's not all 9 months. But then here's something called Abortion Finder, and it's on the line right now. So you can go by state. And you look at the state of Minnesota. And here's what they say on their website. We will help assistance for cost of travel and more. These organizations may offer one or all the following fundings for your abortion: support for travel, childcare, lodging, and more. If you're in Minnesota and need an abortion, abortion is legal throughout all pregnancy in Minnesota. There is no ban or limit on abortion in Minnesota based on how far along in pregnancy you are. And listen to this. Parental involvement is not required in Minnesota. If you're younger than 18, you can consent to an abortion and do not have to notify a parent to get an abortion in Minnesota. And that's somebody who's running as a position within our government as a vice president.
I understand about 15% of all abortions are third trimester. Is that right? Have you heard that?
The stats that I've seen, this is also from Guttmacher and the CDC, they report that it's 1% of abortions are after like 21 weeks. But if we had 1 million abortions last year, over 1 million in 2023, 1% of 1 million is actually a very large number, right? I mean, 10 to 12,000. So that's still a very large amount of abortions.
We often hear, you talked about Governor Wallace, but we often hear about the difficult stories. One that gets plenty of play on the national scene is the one from Georgia, Amber Thurman, 28-year-old, who used an abortion pill to end the lives of her twins, but with complications, and she went for treatment in Georgia at an ER and was not treated, and then went to North Carolina. Can you give us a little clarity on that one?
Yeah, so basically the Amber Thurman case, and I would like to mention too, there are also other cases. There's one in New Mexico of a lady named Keisha Adkins, where it's almost the same, not the exact same situation, scenario happened to her, but she had an abortion pill complication, and this is in New Mexico, so very pro-abortion state. So I'll just encourage viewers to actually look up that story as well. But the heartbeat bill, so what it prohibits, I'm going to quote exactly from the legislation, it prohibits, quote, "The act of using, prescribing, or administering any instrument, substance, device, or other means with the purpose to terminate a pregnancy, with knowledge that termination will, with reasonable likelihood, cause the death of an unborn child," end quote. So in this case, Amber Thurman would have already entered the ER with her babies dead, right? Because she took the first abortion pill, mifepristone, which starves babies of progesterone, the needed hormone, to continue a pregnancy. So her babies would have already died, tragically, right? Because she sought an abortion. So there's nothing in the Life Act that would have prohibited a doctor giving her the care she needed, which in this case most likely would have been a DNC. Since her babies had already died, there was no detectable heartbeat. The Life Act only prohibits a DNC if it is used to take the life of a preborn baby after a detectable heartbeat. So I argue that it's medical malpractice, and really, you know, this goes all the way back to the heart of the issue, that if an abortion wasn't sought in the first place, this never would have happened. And abortion pills are dangerous as well. So,
but there's no law in the, in America that prevents emergency room treating a miscarriage.
No.
Caused by an abortion pill.
No, there's not.
Okay. And basically, I understand 1 in 25 abortion pill situations end up with the lady going to
the emergency
going
room.
To the ER.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because the FDA originally approved the abortion pills, mifepristone, misoprostol, 2000, but they have removed a lot of the requirements. So even just one that I wanted to bring up, in 2011, a woman had to have 3 required in-person visits with the doctor. 2016, they removed that to 1 visit to dispense mifepristone. 2021, there is now none. So no in-person visits. So I just ask why, if these, I mean, these pills are dangerous, right? And now, I mean, we don't even know all the non-fatal adverse events that have happened because mifepristone, that requirement was taken away as well. So why are we not requiring basic medical care? No in-person visit. I mean, what if a woman has an ectopic pregnancy?
Sure.
She shouldn't be taking the abortion pill. So.
Right. All right, well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, surprisingly, with a quote from Melania Trump. But first, these words.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Customized Academic Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to Community Voice. I'm Steve Raddick, your host. We have Dwayne Hagg, president of West Georgia Right to Life, and Brooke Robick, project coordinator at Georgia Right to Life. Well, here's a little tidbit from Melania Trump's memoir, not memoir, but from her recent book, quote, restricting a woman's right to choose whether to terminate an unwanted pregnancy is the same as denying her control over her own body. I have carried this belief with me through my entire adult life, unquote. Isn't that kind of the point, Melania? It's not your body.
Yes, and I'll say, as someone who, I would say I'm very conservative, I voted, you can assume who I've voted for in the past with my statement there, but it's disappointing to me when I see leaders in the GOP and people like that say statements, because those are the statements I hear from college students on college campuses, my body, my choice.
Yeah, tell me, you're on campuses a good bit, so what do you hear?
My body, my choice, bodily autonomy. I hear that abortion is a right. And then, you know, we'll ask, well, where's that right in the Constitution? It's not there, right? It's an inferred right to privacy, which I would argue is not how you read the Constitution. But simply, it's not your body, because there's a separate human body inside of the womb with the unique DNA from the point of fertilization as a human being. So it's not your body, your choice.
You know, it's amazing that point, or the point that she's making, the point you're making, is never really addressed. We just kind of, you know, a slogan becomes the truth, quote mm-hmm. unquote, if it's repeated often enough, as we all know. Mm-hmm. And my body, my choice is just not true.
Well, you know, I think you and I talked about it recently. I got into a little bit of debate with somebody on a post, and she was from the feminist movement. And she said, you know, hey, what about my opportunity as a female? I should have a right for my choice. And I said, okay, let's talk about this like adults on email. I said, you are a female, and the population of America is 320 million, so let's say 160 million females are in the United States right now. And what about those that have been aborted since 73? There's 65 million abortions, so half of that would be 32.5 million females that aborted. You just, by what you said, took away you took away the right of 32.5 million females to have a right to life, because you said females are having a right to life as part of your movement. And she went dark. I never heard back from her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you think about it that way, Steve, I mean, they have taken away the right of a female for a life mm-hmm. and to mm-hmm. have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, we now have a negative birth rate, or the birth rate is 1.62, which is not a replacement rate. But, you know, you put in the chemical abortion numbers with the 65 million often quoted in two states that don't report. I mean, we can get up to 100 million people, and the country is only 330. Imagine it if we had 430 mm-hmm. million.
Yeah.
So it's pretty pretty significant. Let's mention, if we could, the born alive issue, which has, you know, been part of the recent debates. Mm-hmm. Of course, infanticide is defined by Wikipedia as the intentional killing of infants or offspring. Unwanted infants were usually abandoned to die of exposure. But in some societies, they were deliberately killed. The born alive federal law is supposed to prevent this, but it's not an active prevention of killing, so an active prevention still leads to murder and homicide charges. But if you passively allow a child that was who's alive as a result of a failed abortion to expire, is that illegal or illegal?
Well, if you passively, so the problem with the Born Alive Infants Protection Act 2022 and Washington Stand with the Family Research Council, some great research on this act. But so the bill is great in that it defines babies born after an abortion as persons. And I read this bill, that's really all it does. There's no enforcement mechanism. So, and since the law's passage, the Washington Stand reports, despite state records indicating that at least 277 infants have survived abortions, and that's just from 10 states who have actually reported babies surviving abortions, there have been no federal prosecutions against abortionists for this. So, and they report that. However, if the abortionist or any healthcare practitioner with the mother's acquiescence fails to render care to an infant abortion survivor and that infant dies as a result, federal law in many states do not provide for charges to be brought. Charges to be brought. And then Duane brought up Minnesota earlier. Minnesota is just one example where they actually used to be required reporting of an infant who was born alive after an abortion. But when Tim Walz was the governor, he signed a bill into law that took out the language of, quote, to preserve the life and health of the born alive infant, end quote, from a subdivision of a Minnesota statute. So actually, from January 1st, 2021 through December 31st, 2021, there were five abortion procedures which resulted in a born alive infant that were reported in the state. And that's just one state. Now, for my research, only 8 states require reporting of babies who are born alive. So
that 277 you mentioned is only from those 8 states.
That's only from those 10 states.
10 states.
From the 10-year period, yeah.
But your point, that which is a larger philosophical issue, if you have no enforcement mechanism with the law, then really what good is the law?
Mm-hmm. Right, and maybe like you said, you're not actively killing the child, but if you're just providing comfort care, then the child, you know, you're not providing active care for that child to live. And I wanted to go back to the point you brought, to another point as well, like the Christian church in the past, if you look at church history, especially in the Roman Empire, you know, especially female babies that were born, and if babies just that were unwanted were left at these exposure walls, and they would cry out, it was the Christian church that went out to care for these children. I'd make the same argument and appeal now to the Christian church against abortion, other sanctity of life issues, that we need to be the ones on the forefront caring for these children.
I think it was when Pharaoh said, kill all the young babies, and the midwife said no.
And Exodus,
Yeah, and Moses survived as a result. Let's take a break, and we'll be back with more with Dwayne Hack and Brooke Robick after these words.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. Part of the work of Right to Life, Georgia Right to Life, is legislatively. I understand, Brooke, Georgia Prenatal Equal Protection Act is coming.
Yes. Well, we did introduce it in the past session. It was introduced by Representative Emery Donahue. He's over in the Gainesville, North Georgia area. I did have 5 co-sponsors. It was assigned to the Public Health Committee, but it did not receive a hearing, sadly. So we are hoping that the bill would be introduced again in the next session. And honestly, it's pretty simple. It's the, you know, Georgia Prenatal Equal Protection Act. It's based off the 14th Amendment that no person should be denied the equal protection of the law. And we would argue that the preborn baby deserves that equal protection, and that the existing homicide laws that we have against born persons need to be applied against the preborn person and fully protect them from murder, because that's what abortion is. And as we said earlier, there are, to our knowledge, still 13 abortion mills open in the state of Georgia. To my knowledge, at least 3 Planned Parenthoods that are in Cobb County, Atlanta, and Lawrenceville. So we need to do more, right, in our state. The heartbeat bill is not enough. We need to end abortion.
There's one of those co-sponsors is a local legislator.
Yes, so Representative Tyler Paul Smith was a co-sponsor of the Equal Protection Act.
So, Dwayne, you've talked about this a couple of times. Where are we with the personhood amendment, and what is it?
We keep pushing personhood. Basically, when we talk about personhood, it's the simplest. It's a person who has a right to have rights, you know, in its simplest form. It's an individual's right to have rights. Yep. It's recognition of the inalienable, God-given, not man-made, equal rights. Yep. The term person is applied to a particular class of human beings. This past year, if you remember back in May of this year, we had the personhood amendment, and we put that on our ballot here in Carroll County. And we asked, would folks be interested and would vote for a personhood amendment added to our Constitution? We had 68% of the Republicans that voted in May of 2024 said, yes, we would vote for a personhood amendment to the Constitution. What that was, let me read it to you real quick. Here's what was on our ballot referendum in May, and it says, should the Constitution of Georgia be amended, adding a personhood amendment to our Georgia Constitution so that the right to life is vested in each innocent human being inside and outside of the womb from his or her earliest biological beginning to natural death without regard to age, race, sex, health, function, or condition of dependency. Like I said, 68% voted yes. We would be in favor of that. And one thing I thought about...
Yeah, in Carroll County, right?
Yeah, Carroll County. That was a Carroll County. And we're going to work on Harrelson next year.
Yes, hopefully.
One thing I thought about, too, was if you think about the personhood, anytime there was a time in history where people were taken or killed or pushed aside, they always took personhood first. And not just as a nation, but as a world. Think about it. The Native Americans, you also had the African Americans, you also had the Jews in Germany. Mm-hmm. The first thing that was always done was the person was taken away from them. Their personhood was taken away. So we see that with the preborn in the womb. You take away person, and like Brooke said, you tie it up to the 14th Amendment of the United States.
60 seconds. Tell us about the annual Stand for Life.
All right. October 19th. Hey, we need you guys. Churches, we need you. Locals, we need you. October the 19th, Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. This will be our 20th anniversary. Help us celebrate, unfortunately, for this cause. It's 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday, October the 19th. We're on the sidewalk of Highway 27 South in front of Walmart. And as we did the last 2 years, we have an opportunity for any church that brings 10 or more 12 to 19-year-olds to the function, we're going to give you $100. Come on out to the Stand for Life. We're going to give you $100. Go out and have lunch. It'll be a great outreach for you. That's Saturday, October 19th from 10 to 11 on the sidewalk of Highway 27.
For more information?
More information, give me a call. 470-370-2452. Dwayne Hack, West Georgia Right to Life.
Honored by the Michelle Morgan Chair of the Carroll County Commissions 1 week ago.
Yes, and we appreciate it. We're humbled. We're humbled by it.
Our gratitude to Dwayne Hack, President of West Georgia Right to Life, and Brooke Robick, Project Coordinator at Georgia Right to Life. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our sponsors. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.